Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. The song said, praise him and lift him up. Amen. Amen. Anybody here know that he is a good God and he's worthy to be praised? He's worthy to be lifted up. Amen. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, wait. One quick second. I saw a preacher do this one Sunday, so I'm going to do it. He said that everything that has breath, he said, take your hand, put it in front of your face. Blow on your hand. Did you feel anything on your hand? Then you ought to give God some praise. Because you're here because of him, not because of yourself. Amen. It was his power, his glory, his mercy, his kindness, his love, and his consideration of you, the reason why that you are even here today. Because you are not what you think you are, but God is who he said he is. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here today. Amen. Glory be to God. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this morning, Master, to say thank you. For you are an awesome God. You are a merciful, kind, and a loving God. And we're so thankful that you're not like us. We're so thankful that you are better than us. So, Master, while we're here today, allow us to grow a little bit more so we can look a little bit more like you. Give us some food, some spiritual food to make our spiritual man better. Make him stronger, make him wiser, Master. For this world is a world that kills, but you are a God that builds. We ask, Master, that you build us while we're here, so when we leave this place today, that we'll be better than we were when we came. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. All hearts say amen. Amen. We have now have our opening hymn, hymn 262.
Again, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
to forego the pastoral prayer until I get up to give the word today so we can save some time. Amen. So we are now asked that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. And if the choir would give us a selection. God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them according to your will so that some soul will be touched. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. And all God's children sing.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. For surely we are blessed. Amen. Amen. Every last one of us in here are blessed. Amen. And we ought to give God some praise for our blessings. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I think we're a little too spoiled. Amen. We don't want to praise and thank God for what we have. Because I want you to not be confused and think that you got it on your own. Because I want you to know that you didn't. And that stuff people tell me, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. No, you didn't. And those boots that you have on your feet, God gave them to you. And he gave you the ability to think, talk, walk, move. Without him giving you those abilities, you wouldn't have what you have. So somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Amen. Amen. I learned early in life, if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I would be. Amen. Amen. Because of him being in my life, I would give him all praises at all times. And I don't care where I'm at. Amen. I can be in front of the president. I still give God the praise because he is the highest power. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you today, Master, say thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. And Master, we pray that you say something through me that will land in their hearts, find its way to fertile ground. And then, Master, we ask, once it finds its way to fertile ground, that you pour out your anointing of water, that it'll fall fresh upon the soil and cause the seed to grow, where they can become stronger, better for the kingdom of God. We ask now in these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray that all hearts say amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me, and I'll try to be as quick as possible. Turn with me to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 10. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 10, and they read as such. Remember this, and show yourselves, men, bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. Amen. Just for a few moments, we'll continue on in the series of preaching of God's sovereignty. And today we're on part two of God's sovereignty. And in part two, we're going to deal with what controls God's sovereignty. What controls God's sovereignty? And my proposition to you is, once again, the same as it was on the previous Sunday. There is nothing greater than God. Let me say that one more time for those of us who quite might not believe that. There is nothing greater than God. In part one, we talked about your faith is required and will be tested when we are talking about the sovereignty of God. And secondly, we gave you the definition of God's sovereignty. And we said that it means that he is the ultimate authority and ruler of all creation with supreme power and control. And then we answered and cleared up the question, who is God and where did God come from? We said that he is the progenitor of all things. He is where all things come from. And that's who God is. Everything that's bad came from God. Everything that's good came from God. Because remember, God being himself cannot be different. Which means that God is whole. And every time God makes something, he has to make the opposite of that thing. So if God makes good, evil must be present for you to understand what good is. So God is the creator, the progenitor of all things. Not only is he the creator of all things, but when we discuss where did God come from, your faith really is tested, because we find out in scripture God comes from himself. He has no beginning. He has no ending. God just is. Amen. I know that's a tough one for some of us, but we must understand that God is not like us. God didn't come from where we come from. Amen. God is way above who we are. There is nothing like God. God stands all by himself. And then finally, we gave you the benefits of believing in God's sovereignty. We said that when you believe in God's sovereignty, you gain a strong covenant relationship with him. And when you gain a strong covenant relationship with God, it gives you a couple of things that comes along with it. One of those things is peace. No matter where you find yourself, if you believe in God's sovereignty, no matter how chaotic it is, you know that God will keep you. No matter how bad the situation looks, God still yet have power to deliver you. And then we said that not only peace comes because of the relationship, but then you gain strength and resilience. You gain strength and resilience, which means trouble is coming. But because you got God, no matter what you're facing, you can go through it. No matter what may come, you can deal with it. No matter what challenge may show up, you're ready for it. Because you have a relationship with God. Now today we're going to talk about a couple of other things. But yet and still I want you to know your faith is being tested. Your faith is still yet being required of you. Because what we're going to talk about today is what controls God's sovereignty. And then what God's sovereignty controls. And it's important that we have knowledge of these things because they determine how we worship, how we worship and serve God. If you truly believe that God is sovereign and God has to answer to no one, and everything that God does in your life is a fact of truth and a fact of absolute, then you will know who God really is. And when things come in your life, it won't change who you who you say you are. Because there's somebody who's more powerful, who's controlling me, and someone who's more powerful that's controlling my adversary. Y'all don't hear me. If he's controlling your adversary, then why are you fretting? Why are you fearful? Why are you afraid? I told you just a little while ago that God is the progenitor of all things. So if he's your God, then why are you fearful? He controls all things. But when we look at this, we must understand that our relationship with him impact who we are personally in a very powerful manner. Because when we think about these two questions, it draws our will into question. The human will, it draws that will into question, and it asks the question, will your will line up with God's will? And will your will yet still be your own will? Let me tell you something. If your will does not line up with God's will, there's only one end for you. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You're going to hell. You know, preachers have got to the place where we sugarcoat too much, and people doing all kinds of stuff nowadays because preachers won't be direct with them. I'm going to be direct this morning with you. If your will don't line up to the will of God, you're going to hell. There is no other place. Let me get a little hood for you. Tupac used to have a song. Is there heaven for a gangster? I want to tell Tupac so bad, brother, if that gangster is not lining up with God's will, there is no heaven for you. Hell will be your destination. It draws in to question our will. Will our will line up with God's will? I'm going to tell you, like I told the Bible study class, when your will lines up with God's will, then you really find freedom. What you have now is not real freedom. You think your will is freedom. Your will is not freedom. Your will is limited. But God's will is unlimited. So when we look at this, we must understand that God's will is the one true will. So when we look at what God's sovereignty controls, we look in the Bible and we find so many things about God. We find God's intellect. We find his wisdom, we find his grace, we find his power. But let me tell you, as powerful as these things are, there's one thing about God that's more powerful than his intellect. There's one thing about God that's more powerful than his wisdom. There's a thing that's more powerful than his grace, and then there's something most powerful than God's power. Reverend, what could that be? His love. God's sovereignty is controlled by God's love. Somebody ought to be shouting. When I was studying and getting prepared, I was getting excited because I started thinking about God's love in my life. What God could have done to me, but he didn't. When I was out there doing my thing, thinking I could do what I wanted to do, but God did not take me out. He kept giving me chance after chance. Chance after chance. Every time I did something wrong, he didn't take me out. He just gave me another chance. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. What controls God's sovereignty? It's his love. His love keeps him from being what we consider to be an evil God. It keeps him in place. It keeps him from acting out of character. It keeps him from being who he really is. The Bible teaches us that his love and his sovereignty do not compete with one another. They actually work together. And let me share with you why they work together. They work together to offer you mercy, grace, and peace. Somebody need to give God some praise here. God's love controls his sovereignty so that you can have mercy, grace, and peace. So he don't get out of place with you. Think about this. Let me bring it home a little bit closer. If God responded to our offenses against him the way that we respond to people's offenses against us, can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine the one who's almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, upset with you, and because he has no control, that he acts out of his anger, in his strength, in his might, and in his power towards you? Well, let me share with you. If he did, there would be nothing left. If God respond to our offenses against him the way that we respond to others' offenses against us, none of us would be left. All of us would be gone. But because he loves us so much, he can hold himself where he don't respond. Somebody better give God some praise in here. Somebody better give God some praise in here.
said, I got my love, Reverend, that controls me. Well, I don't get to a place where I act out of emotion. I don't get to a place where I act out of frustration. I don't get to a place where I act out of being irrational. My love holds me in place. Let me thank God for him extending that grace and mercy to us. Because I know that we'll all be gone if he act like us. But thank God he's not like us. The Bible says he's not a man. God is a spirit. But God loves us. As a matter of fact, John 3:16 said it like this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't say for those who are perfect. Y'all don't hear me. Huh? He didn't say for those who got big bank accounts. He didn't say for those who drive the best cars. He didn't say for those who think they got it together. He said for those who believe. Lord have mercy. Anybody here believe? Yes. Anybody here believe that God sent Jesus to die for your sins? Yes. Anybody here know that he saved you, and because he saved you, you had the right to the tree of life? Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Let me tell you how powerful how God is, and I'm going to go home. Y'all thank me and my wife for there being four parts to this sermon now instead of three, since they took up all my time. But let me tell you how beautiful our God is. In that 10th verse, we find that God did something that no one else can do. The 10th verse of Isaiah 46 says this: declaring the end from the beginning, which means that God has already ended the world. Lord have mercy. He ended the world before he began the world. So that's why God knows everything that you're going to do. And let me help you understand, for those of us who think we're just flesh and blood, there's a part of you that's divine that's called a soul. Your soul does not age. Your soul is divine. Your soul is like God. It doesn't have a beginning. It does not have an ending. That's why the Bible says that it groans and moans and it wants to go back home. But God says, I ended the world before I began it. Yeah. Let me help you understand how beautiful that is for us. So that means that before God created heaven and earth, he had already designed a way for you and I to receive salvation. Before he created anything, he went ahead and put an assurance in place. Lord have mercy. Most of us paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for insurance. Well, God has already given us the assurance. Y'all don't hear me. That's everlasting. God said, I put something in place before the foundation of the world because I knew you were going to see me. He says, I know your nature. I know who you are. I know where you're strong. I know where you're weak. I know what you can do. I know what you can't do. I know how you think. I know everything you believe that you can do. And because of that, before I created the heavens and the earth, before I split the water from the land, I went on ahead and put something in place to save you from yourself. And he did it out of love. God loved you so much, he gave his only son to die a gruesome murder so that you yet can still have life. Isaiah helps us to understand just how important we are to God. And let me help you understand before I go home. You cannot save yourself. Some of us believe that we can work out our soul salvation. You can't. It's a gift from God. But what you ought to be doing is living a right life to tell God thank you. You know that song, Thank You, Sir? If you want to say thank you, sir, to God, live a good life. If you want to tell God that you are appreciative, live a life that's righteous. That's how you get to heaven. You don't get to heaven by working out of obligation. God don't need your obligation. He's the creator of all things. All he needs is your faith, your appreciation, and your love towards him. Somebody better give God some praise in here. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it like this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For not of works, lest any man should boast. He know who we are. He know what type of spirits we have. Huh? Even I had a boastful spirit and didn't realize until I thought I had a little money coming to me and I lost my way. And God shut me down. Because he knew what type of person I would end up being if I got my hands on that money that I thought I was about to get. We are all like that, but God loves us so much. He knows how to put roadblocks, stumbling blocks. Know how to let things trouble your life a little bit to help you understand that you are not what you think you are. But if you believe in him, he'll take you to a place where you never thought that you can go. Somebody better give God some praise in here. If you want a good life, give your life to. Huh? He said, I came that you may have life and have life abundantly. Give your life to Christ and Christ will show you the way. God says, if you allow me to be your God, because you know he won't force himself on you. If you allow me to be your God, he said, I'll show you what love is. Not only will I show you what love is, I will transform your life in an impactful manner. He said, in me you will find unconditional acceptance. In me you will find forgiveness. In me you will find inner strength. In me you will find safety because I will hide you from the enemy. In me you will find forgiveness of your sins. He said, because I will cast your sins in the sea of forgetfulness so that I can't even bring them back up to you. Somebody better give God some praise in here. Anybody here today needs God's sovereignty? Anybody here today needs God's love? Anybody in today needs God's mercy? All I can say is thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for being my God. Thank you, Lord, for being sovereign. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. A God who does not need help from anybody. A God who stands all by himself. And what he declares is true. What he declares will happen. Not may happen, but it will happen. And if you want that in your life, then you must believe in God's sovereignty. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there be one who would like to join the church today, please come to the altar and we'll give you the right hand of fellowship. Give God some praise. Give God some praise.
Now that the officers of the church will come now for the purpose of communion. As they come, I ask that you pray silently as I pray aloud, because we don't want to eat nor drink damnation unto our souls. I want you to know that this is very serious. The Bible says that some of us are sick because we're eating and drunk from this table unworthily. And some of us have even died because we have done it unworthily. Please do not take this lightly. This has God's anointing on it. And when God's anointing is on something, you can't contaminate it. Let me say that one more time. When God's anointing is on something, you cannot contaminate it. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come now preparing ourselves to eat from Jesus' body and to drink of his holy blood. We pray, Master, that if there's something that's in us that's not worthy, if there's something that's in us that's troubling and concerning to you, we ask now that you remove it so that we don't eat nor drink damnation unto our souls. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let all hearts say amen. God some praise in here. Give God some praise in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, go ahead and praise him. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Father God, we come down and say thank you, Master, for this day. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for you keeping and covering us. Master, we ask now as we prepare to leave this place that you watch over us, that you protect us, that you keep us until we can return back to this church where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Now that all God's children sing.